And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, so let's get down to business. Today's show is going to have a slightly different format. We have Doc.io in the house. So let's get into the interview. We have Nick presenting, who's the co-founder and CEO of Doc.io. He's going to be telling us about the exciting technology, the opportunity that they are currently working with, and most importantly, what they're going to be doing for the space and how they are going to be using their technology for the greater good. So let's hear it from the man himself and let's jump into the interview. Nick, how's it going?
It's good, good. How are you doing, Charles?
I'm doing great. So what part of the world are you in today, Nick?
I am in San Francisco today. Not so sunny San Francisco today, unfortunately, but weather's been pretty good most of the year, so I can't complain.
Perfect. Well, I hope it gets a little bit better. Nick, would you be so kind to give us a quick background to yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I co-founder at Doc, and I've been an entrepreneur for 10 years. I've founded four different companies and sold two of them. So I'm also the CEO of Remote.com, which is one of the largest job networks in the world for remote work specifically. And when I say remote work, I mean that's full-time employment with a company that you're working in a remote capacity, so working from home, say. And prior to that, I had a company called Branded.me, which was a professional network which we scaled to a few million users. So the last 5-6 years of my career, I've been in this what we call professional industry, which is your job networks or professional networks. So I got started in blockchain a couple years back through buying Bitcoin essentially and holding Bitcoin and kind of speculating at the time, and learned more about the space and got more involved in buying and investing in other projects, and had friends essentially last year when ICOs and token sales really started taking off, had friends participating, and I got involved in some of their projects, and it led to Doc, which we're at today.
Great story. So do you think it's fair to say you were an early believer in the space as well? I mean, if you were buying Bitcoin, you know, a few years back, you're definitely one of the first guys on the scene.
Yeah, I think in general, I'm really passionate about the future and what's to come, and you see that with remote. Like I'm super bullish on remote work being the future of work, the true future of work, and I think with remote.com we can be the LinkedIn of the future, but always kind of just thinking ahead in terms of like what's next and what can we do that's unique. And obviously, like, you know, Bitcoin and blockchain certainly falls into that category, so it's super exciting space.
Perfect. So would you be so kind to give us a quick overview of Doc.io and the ecosystem?
Yeah, absolutely. So Doc is a data exchange protocol, and we designed the protocol specifically for user data. So there are two primary goals of Doc. One is to give users ownership and control of their information online, which is currently not happening. And the other is to provide connectivity between apps, allowing apps to communicate better with one another, providing a more seamless internet experience. So the internet was designed to be an open protocol of connectivity, but has become very fragmented due to the fact that applications have started to guard their data and build these walls and silos. So these applications, when you think of like any consumer-facing application really, but LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it may be, all these applications rely on user data. And because of that, they go to extreme measures to protect and guard that data and allow, like, basically restrict what a user can and can't do without their information and make it very hard for a user to take their data elsewhere. Because of that, the internet's become very fragmented. These silos have been built. So, and I'll give you a few more examples. Like, so your internet essentially lives on hundreds of different, I'm sorry, your information lives on hundreds of different apps online.
Right.
And you're forced to maintain each individually, which is nearly impossible to do. So you have hundreds of profiles online. and because of this, you have many sources of your information that live, whether the profiles or whatever forms of data they are, many sources online that are inaccurate and out of date because it's impossible to maintain each of these individually. And people like to have hundreds of profiles they forgot even exist. And because of this, there's a lot of lost time and then lost value and opportunities for users. Specifically, users spend a lot of time in applications building up reputations or networks or work experience and skills and various achievements. And unfortunately, all of these values that users build in a platform like LinkedIn are now centralized and controlled to one source. So if a user wants to go to a new application, that information is not easily portable over to a new source. So you spend time manually filling out a new profile or adding your information. And then in terms of any source where you need any type of reputation or history, obviously you have to build all that value from scratch. So yeah, you can think of Doc as an API of APIs, which is meant to connect different apps that you use into one master source of information that you can easily port around the internet. And it essentially automates a lot of your internet experience. So this provides the ability to connect data that you have living on many different sources into one master source and easily port that to another, really automating and your experience online and connecting the internet.
I liked your summary there, and what you guys are doing in the space is super, super exciting. Now, Nick, on a more personal note, what excites you the most about the space and the potential within it? I mean, what gets you going? What excites you? What keeps you driven?
Yeah, so obviously, like this space is dear to my heart. I've been in this for the last 6 years, and I've seen both perspectives of the problems that we're solving. They're massive problems.
Yeah,
I've obviously been on the operator side, operating remote.com, and Brandon, my co-founder, actually, prior to us working together, she was a founder of outsource.com, which was a freelance marketplace that had hundreds of thousands of users too. So we've operated a few different platforms from the operator side that rely on consumer data. And we've seen the issues from both the operator standpoint as well as the user standpoint, because we hear from them all the time. So we understand what a massive of an issue this user data is. And that's what really excites us. So you have things like GDPR, which is the General Data Protection Regulation. And in short, this is a regulation. This is coming into effect in May 25th, so
yeah,
just under 3 months. And in short, this is a regulation by the EU, which intends to protect individuals in the EU in regards to how applications acquire and manage their data. And this affects and impacts nearly any application on the internet that relies on user data that has an international presence, because it has anyone living in the EU essentially. So, and this basically what this does is sets provisions with how applications can acquire, how they acquire your data, and how they manage your data. And many of these applications, most actually, are currently not in compliance with this, with the ways that they're acquiring user data, how they're managing user data, and such. And this is directly in line with our mission in terms of giving a user control and owning every decision with how their information is used online. So, so that's one effort. And then, you know, we're talking to a lot of large companies right now, and all of these companies are thinking about this problem on a daily basis. So some of the companies we're talking to are like Workday, SAP SuccessFactors, Indeed, Seek, which is a largest job board in the world, Monster, and others. And we have meetings with these companies, and they bring on teams, and they are very transparent about the fact that they're working on solutions. They think about this problem on a daily basis on how they're acquiring user data and how they're managing the data as well. And the problem is if one of these companies created their own solution to essentially address the problems we are with user data, that would be more an internal solution that's used specifically for them and not really address the issues that we're addressing by connecting different sources. Because let's say Workday build their own internal solution. Obviously, a direct competitor to them like SAP or maybe Indeed would not want to use that solution, right? Because they're not going to work with their direct competitor sure. with on their solution. But what's really nice about what we're doing here with Doc is we're not building a competing product with any of these companies, right? Like, we're not building an HR system, a recruiting application, or a job network, or a professional network. Like, our Doc is designed to work with all of these companies and be complementing, essentially, which is really exciting because it, with everything I've done with my previous companies, there's always this direct competitor where we're usually a competing job network or whatever it may be, a competing product. But what's really exciting about what we're doing is not only addressing a massive issue, but what we're doing, the system we're building, this protocol is designed to work with all these applications and be complementing, essentially. So, yeah, a lot of reasons, but those are the main why we're so excited.
Well, you're definitely extremely knowledgeable in the space, which is great to hear. And if anyone can do it, it sounds like your team is able to execute. Now, you kind of touched on a few points of my next question, but I mean, what use cases do you see it facilitating in a little bit more detail? Would you be so kind to speak about that?
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, the main use case is just porting data around the internet. But to be more specific, I think anytime the most general use case or most common use case is going to be onboarding to a new app. So anytime you sign up to a new app right now, that's a very manual process. And depending on what type of app you're signing up to, there may be limited data or there may be a lot of data. If you're signing up to an app where you see you have a profile of any kind that requires work experiences or an application that requires a network, right? Like your contacts, which could be any type of email or calendar type application or professional network or any type of social network, all of these apps require a lot of data. Yeah. And the ability to instantly import data, like your master source of data from a number of sources, is very powerful because it automates the internet experience. So that's the most common. Of course, like initially our experience, we're focused on, we're calling it professional industry, right? So some specific use cases to the professional industry are also applying to a job. So instead of uploading a PDF resume or filling out an application manually, it's like a one-click apply of verified work experiences and endorsements and recommendations from a number of sources to instantly apply to a job as wow. well. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of use cases that say like those are the ability to like instantly import data is very valuable though, because it saves a lot of time and retains a lot of value for the user as well.
Absolutely. Would you be so kind to explain how participants in the network are rewarded for creating new data on the network? Because I know that's an issue, or not an issue, something that people have been asking. I know when I said I was going to be doing the interview today, these are some of the questions that came forward.
Yeah. I'll touch on that. So there's, I'd say a couple things. Like one long-term vision with the protocol is that the participant that will be rewarded for the data is actually the application. And I'll talk through that early on in this project to incentivize growth and really get the network growing fast. We're also rewarding the end user, early users and that sign up to the Doc app. So the first 2 million users or so we're going to reward for incentivize for the data. But that's really just to kickstart the network and get the network growing. Long-term vision with this, the end user, let's say me or you,
yep.
we're not going to be rewarded for our data. And we made that decision for a couple reasons. One is, and it'll be the application that's rewarded. So I'll walk through how that'll work, and then I'll also talk through why we made those decisions. So sure. let's say you are on an application – remote.com, for example, you either update your network, you get new connections, update your profile, whatever the update is going to be, you want to save this update to the network, to your one master source in Doc. You request that by clicking save in the application, and that new information is saved to the network. Now, remote.com is the one that is incentivized or compensated for that data, for your data. So you as a user, you retain all your value online, right? So your value is now that you can connect all these sources online and retain your value wherever you go, versus what's currently happening where these applications are controlling your data and making decisions for you and not allowing you to do that. Now you have the ability to do that, which makes you a lot more successful online and saves you a lot more time, creates a lot more opportunities for you. The application is rewarded for one, because applications need to obviously generate revenue to be able to cover the costs to support what you're able to do on their platform in many cases. So that was the main reason for that, is like, we feel the applications have costs they need to support. There needs to be an incentive there for the applications to participate in this ecosystem, to contribute that data to the network, because a lot of applications are currently guarded with their data and they don't allow you to do that.
True.
So we're incentivizing these applications to now participate. So applications that are contributing a lot of data to the network at the request of the user, of course, are now rewarded for that. And then second is, like, we feel when you incentivize the end user, initially we're doing this, of course, but long term, when you're paying a user for the data, it creates just unaligned incentives and encourages potential malicious behaviors, like we've seen this in the past too with tests and projects that we've had within our networks, but where you get low quality data, people trying to game the system to earn for their data and such, and we feel like after doing some tests in previous platforms we had, like, that wasn't the right decision to make. So
okay, I mean, it seems like I agree with the points you made. So, you know, you're looking for the longevity of the project rather than short-term users. So, Nick, is Dot currently on track to hit the milestones outlined in your roadmap for this year? Is everything going well? Because I know the crypto space, you know, 1 week is like a year in the normal world, right? So I'm sure you guys are not even sleeping at night. So is everything going well? Is everything going smoothly? Has anything come up that you weren't really anticipating? Or if you could just kind of fill us in there.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're definitely on track with all of our milestones, so which is great. I'd say the you're absolutely right that 1 week in crypto is certainly like a month or maybe even multiple months in traditional startup land. But we're absolutely on target with all of our goals so far. And in our roadmap that we've shared previously, like, everything is on target to happen there. In fact, we're ahead of a couple of these milestones in terms of what we've laid out, but absolutely on track and things are going well. And now that we have the public sale behind us too, we're able to focus 100% of our efforts on the actual project and execution. And so that's the one challenge of running a public sale, is it is a lot of work. And I published a couple different articles on that. And that's what you see some of these successful projects. Well, there's a few reasons, but you see some of these successful projects cancel the public sales and just do all private right when they originally had planned and intended to do a public sale. And they do that for a couple of reasons. One of them is certainly the amount of time and effort and money that goes into just running the public portion of the sale, which is tremendous. So for us specifically, it took weeks to plan and execute, and a lot of sleepless nights. But our goal was
distractions as well. Telegram to everyone.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, but our goal, you know, we built up a really large community. We wanted to include that community, create an inclusive process as much as we can. We due to potential SEC issues, you know, we didn't allow U.S. participants in the public sale, which was unfortunate. And we tried to be as inclusive as we can with obviously balancing, you know, potential legal issues. But it was a lot of work. But now that we had that passed, we can focus 100% of our efforts back on the project. And we're certainly on track with all of our milestones.
Back to business. And you mentioned the community there, and how have they responded to the projects? Were you surprised? Did you anticipate the enthusiasm that has occurred?
Yeah, I think, you know, we had high expectations for ourselves. This is not our first rodeo. You know, we've built multiple projects and platforms. So we had high expectations, I will say that. But that said, you know, we certainly met our goals and exceeded our goals of what we thought we'd do. So it's been very positive thus far. Like, we have, you know, really large communities across Telegram and Twitter and Reddit and Medium and such. But aside from that, we also have really, really strong growth in the app that we released a couple months ago. So we have the Doc app, which for a user is a user-facing app, of course, and it's meant to allow you to manage all of your information in one place and connect a number of sources. So that app, although it's in its alpha stage, is actually growing at more than 3,000 new registered users a day, and already has nearly a couple hundred thousand users in less than 2 months, which is pretty incredible growth that you don't traditionally see. So we're really excited about that.
Okay, awesome. Could you speak about some of the partnerships you guys have announced thus far? Because I know some exciting ones have been released.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously remote.com is one, and that's a platform that we operate in and own, but it's a different business and completely different business that we're running there. So remote.com has 3 million users and growing fast as well. Remote's actually growing faster than Doc, but that's one that we're really excited about. And to touch on our growth, I just touched on our growth a bit. So what we're really excited about growing and scaling the network. So Doc is a network of data, of course, right? And the more users we have in the network, the more data we have users, the more valuable this network becomes, because more apps are then interested in participating. Right. So the better we can scale that, the more successful the project becomes all around. So we have direct acquisition via the app, which is going very well, which I just told you about. But where this becomes very interesting in how we really scale this fast is through partnerships. And I'll provide one example through Remote. And so Remote has a network of 3 million users and it's growing fast. And as a user in Remote, I will have the ability to save all of my information in Remote to the Doc network. So I could have my one master source like we've been talking about. And of course, not everyone in Remote, or most people actually, aren't going to have accounts in Doc yet. So we're going to make it very easy for people while they're in the experience in Remote to quickly create an account in Doc and save all their information in the network. And that's how we really start to scale fast, is through partnerships like that, where we can tap into existing networks of millions of users and add that kind of growth to what we're already doing with a direct acquisition and really scale this network fast. And that's where it becomes exciting. So Remote is one. FundRequest is another, which is a decentralized marketplace for open source collaboration. Yeah. And we're pretty close with the FundRequest team and got a chance to meet them a couple times and talk frequently. So that's another. And then Smart Recruiters is one that we're very excited about as well. So Smart Recruiters is not a blockchain or decentralized project, as is Remote right now as well. Neither one of them are. But what's exciting is we're bringing in these traditional corporations who currently have centralized systems. And these companies that will be participating are then going to be allowing users to essentially decentralize their data. So we're helping decentralize portions of, or the important part of these traditional platforms. And Smart Recruiters is a sizable company. I think they have over a couple hundred employees and they have over 12 million users a year on the platform. And what it is, it's a recruiting software application. So companies use Smart Recruiters to essentially manage all of their hiring. Whenever you go to a company website and you see like a potential careers page with jobs listed out, that's hosted by a company like Smart Recruiters. So when job applicants are applying to those jobs, all of that data is processing through Smart Recruiters, and they actually have like a user interface as well. But that's a really large scale platform that we're excited about. I'm actually this coming Tuesday in San Francisco here. They have an annual recruiting conference, which is one of the largest in the U.S., and I'll be participating in a fireside chat about blockchain, and everyone's really excited to hear
awesome.
About blockchain. Yeah, so that'll be good exposure for us. There's it's like, 1,000 industry leaders and one of the biggest conferences in the U.S. for recruiting specifically, so it'll be good exposure for us. And then we're also working on a number of other partnerships too that we haven't publicly announced yet, but we have a lot of traction with both big and small brands inside of the blockchain community and outside.
Perfect. Exciting. Seems like a lot's coming up for the end of this year, and you guys are super busy executing on that, which is great. Now, Nick, while we have you on the show, is there anything you would like to share exclusively with the SVK Crypto podcast listeners out there?
Yeah, I mean, trying to think like what I can share here without giving away any secrets. Because I'd love to give you something. I just have to be thoughtful about what I potentially say here about what we're working on. I'd say, you know, if anything, like just follow along our project and you can expect us to move fast. That's one interesting thing about what we're doing. So we're based here in San Francisco, and a lot of the blockchain community is actually outside of San Francisco, right? Like traditional Silicon Valley is just, I think a lot of traditional Silicon Valley is just kind of tapping in. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, we're used to a very fast pace, environment and execution levels. So the exciting thing about our project is, like, you'll see, progression, you know, at a quick rate, and we'll be, you know, producing and deploying code on a weekly, biweekly basis with, like, sizable updates as well. So, you know, we'll have updates flying fast, and be sure to take a look for that.
Great. Well, thank you for coming on the show today, Nick. We really appreciate it. We know you're super, super busy, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Awesome. Thank you, Charles. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick.
A big thanks once again to Nick for making it on the show. We really, really appreciate it. We know you're a super, super busy guy, so big thanks. Remember, guys, remember to like, subscribe, and share our content on our socials. You can tweet us at @SVK_crypto. Join us on Telegram. Join our ever-growing community. The Telegram handle for that is SVKCrowd, one word. Hit us up, join us, message us. You know what to do. Email myself if you have any questions, queries, anything of the sort. CStory@svkcrypto.com. Thank you so much for listening. And remember to stay tuned, stay subscribed, because we have lots of cool interviews coming up. So stay tuned. That's a wrap.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.